Paul the Apostle now comes to that section in 1 Timothy that begins to warn Timothy about a great apostasy that is going to be coming in the last days, a falling away from the faith. But one of the things that we know is that in the last days, there is going to be an apostasy or apostasia or a falling away of people that have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. False teachers will be teaching doctrines of devils, deceiving people, and try to actually deceive them and take them away from the knowledge of the truth of God's Word. Right now they're doing a movie on the Da Vinci Code that's going to be coming out, trying to disprove that Jesus literally was not only the Son of God, but that he had a relationship sexually with Mary Magdalene. Very interesting thing that is not really true. They're not really following the Bible. They're making up a story. And so it's going to bring a lot of confusion to a lot of people, because many people will believe that, just like the other day, past week, you know, they were talking about how there is no power in prayer. Why pray? 1,000 people they took a test and they actually came to the place where they saw no difference, you know, whether they're praying or not. And so they said prayer doesn't really work. Well, these are the liberals. These are atheistic people. These are people that don't believe in God or His Word. So how can we even trust them? You know? And I think it's really important that we understand that everything that's happening today in the world and all of the deceptions that are happening in the world is because Satan and his demons are behind it. A lot of times people don't believe, especially the liberals, when you go to seminary, there are some seminaries they will tell there is not a literal devil. You can't believe the Bible. The Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible has problems. And yet, how do the archaeologists find all of the things that are, you know, in the Bible? By reading the Bible, and then they begin digging in archaeology. They dig in these places and they find these great things that the Bible talked about. And now they say, well, you know what? There was a real city there. It's really sad how they're always trying to say to people the Bible and God is not true. And yet there is a literal devil. And there are demons, as there is a God. And yet it's so important that in these last days that we need to be students of God's Word and to have a discipline in our lives, so when we spend time in prayer, to make sure that we are not just quoting the Bible, but that we have a relationship with God and that we know what we're talking about when we study the Word of God. One of the things I know for sure that we have to be so careful with is that if you're a Christian, you know that you are in a warfare, spiritually speaking. Because we are soldiers in the kingdom of God. We are going not only through basic training, we're being trained until the Lord comes back, and we're learning how to put on the whole armor of God so that we can fight and stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. That's what Paul the Apostle told us in Ephesians chapter 10. Listen to what Paul said. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having geared your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one." You see? He has darts that he throws out to you, arrows, where he's trying to wound you and he's trying to eventually kill you. Paul already had warned the Ephesian elders. And remember, he's back in the Ephesian church. He's back in Ephesus, but Timothy's a pastor now. When Paul was in Ephesus, he met with the elders of the church right before he was heading to Rome in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. In chapter 28, he said, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And then Paul said this, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that from 3 years I told you, I never stopped telling you and warning you every night and day with tears." Paul says, "I told you and I told you, and now it's here." Why? Because behind these false teachers were demons working, seducing through false doctrines. You see? False doctrines that were being taught. Paul the Apostle also in Romans chapter 16, 17 said, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine, which you have learned, and avoid them." You see? He's warning. Concerning like the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Unity Church, you know, Islam, and all these different religions of the world that do not take the Bible literal, but they change the Word of God. And they listen to demons when they speak. They're being taught by demons. In verse 18 he said, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Deceive the heart of the simple. Who are the simple? Those that are new believers. Those that are not yet rooted and grounded in God's word. And yet this is the only place where demons are mentioned in the pastoral epistles in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy here, verses 1 through 5. The only place. And Paul is amazing. Because Paul, listen what he says in chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Timothy. Listen to what he says in our lesson tonight. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils." You see? He just lays it out. But what's interesting, last week when we finished chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, verse 16, he ends with a positive note. He says, "But without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up to glory." And now notice how he begins here in chapter 4, verse 1. He uses the word "now" in the King James. But in the literal translation of the Greek, it should be, "But the Spirit now says this." You see? The Spirit now is warning that in the last days, in the latter times, some, not all, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Demons are real, my friends. In the Old Testament, there's not a lot about demonology, you know, but in the New Testament, it's like a funnel. If you notice that a funnel gets very narrow at the top, but at the end is very wide, that's the way the Old Testament is when it talks about Satan and his demons. You know, it's very narrow, very small. But as you come into the New Testament, the funnel begins to open up. And by the time you get to the book of Revelations, the funnel is huge because there's going to be so much demon activity in the last days. And surely we are here tonight in the last days. We have been warned by the Lord. We've been warned by the Holy Scriptures. And yet many people don't really understand the work of Satan. That Satan is a real person. Satan was cast out of heaven because he thought that he could actually take over the throne of God. When the prophet Isaiah was writing his book, and he was making reference to the king of Tyre, in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12, he says this, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God are the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Notice that. I'm going to overthrow God, and I'm going to take charge. Verse 15 says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol or to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as the wilderness and destroyed cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? One day when we get to heaven and Satan is judged and we see him, we're going to go, is that him? I can't believe it. He's the one that made the world to tremble. What's amazing is that he was an archangel just like Gabriel and Michael from the Lord. He created Michael and Gabriel and Satan. And what's interesting is that when the world describes Satan, he always, you know, the world's always describing Satan, you know, like a real ugly person and, you know, has all these hooves and has, you know, long hair and teeth like, you know, real wild and horns and the whole thing. But that's not what the Bible says about Satan. Satan is a beautiful angelic being. Beautiful. He says here, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? He's not the way the world pictures him to be. He's an angel created by God, and when he rebelled against God, he was kicked out, and one third of the angels in heaven followed him, and those became demons. Those are the ones that harass people. Those are the ones that possess people. Those are the ones that have been here for a long time, and when you go to a palm reader, or you play with Ouija boards, or you go and look at the gaze at the stars and astrology and all those things, all the information comes through demonology, through demons, devils. They've been here a long time. Your dead mother or father or grandmother or aunt and uncle, they don't come back from the dead. The Bible says nobody comes back from the dead. Once you die, you die. You go to heaven or hell. And the Bible says that those in hell are alive. The only place in the Bible where someone has come back from the dead, only one time, and that is in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28, when King Saul had been given up by the Lord and an evil spirit came upon him. And he knew that God wasn't speaking to him anymore, and he had to go to the battle against the Philistines. And so what he did is he disguised himself as a normal person, and he came to the witch of Endor, the dead seances. And the witch of Endor didn't recognize that he was King Saul, so he came and said, hey, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bring up to me the prophet Samuel. And so she started going through the motions, you know, doing the seance, and all of a sudden she started getting in shock because she says, I see somebody and they're coming from hell, and it looks like a man, and it looks like it's Samuel. And she was shocked, and then she found out that this was King Saul, and she was really, you know, scared. Why? Because in the Bible, going back to the Old Testament and going back to the law, when God gave it, God said that nobody in astrology or in witchy boards or going to a palm reader or anybody that practiced demonology or witchcraft, whatever it would be, they were supposed to be stoned to death, put out of the land to be killed. That's what God said. So he had made the law, and yet here he's breaking the law of God, going to a witch and not going to God anymore because God's no longer speaking to him. So when Samuel came back from the dead, this is the only instance in the Bible. He came back only, God used it only to pronounce judgment on Saul. And he said, Saul, tomorrow you and your sons will be killed in the battle, and you're going to come to hell tomorrow. That was his message. And then he went back. The only place in the Bible. And yet these astrologers and these, you know, palm readers and tea leaf readers, you know, and when you go to these, you know, white witches and, you know, and white witchcraft and all these things, you know, and among the Latins, there's a lot of stuff going on, especially among the Catholic Church. They mix Catholicism with witchcraft. And they, I saw it on Channel 34 the other night. I just flicked into the channels and I saw it. They were talking to this woman, there's a witch in Los Angeles, and all the Mexican people and Central American people come to her for counsel because she talks to spirits. And it's amazing how they can mix religion with witchcraft and demonology. And those people that go into a trance and they begin to speak about your grandmother, that's not really your grandmother. That's a demon that was around when your grandmother was around, and she know, and that demon knows your grandmother or your father or mother, and they even know us. What did Jesus say? When they saw Jesus, and you know, the demon said, "We know who you are." When they saw Paul the apostle, the demon said to him, "I know who you are." The demons know who Christians are. They know us by name. And they fear us because of the light that we possess. They can't touch me and they can't touch you. You see? The only way that a demon could ever touch you or me is if I went back from the truth of God and I started dealing with witchcraft. I started doing seances, reading my horoscope, doing tea leaves, going to palm readers, crystal balls. Then you would be opening the door for Satan to come in and to harass you and even possess you. You have to be careful. No child of God can be demon possessed. There's not one instance in the Old or the New Testament. You cannot prove it to me biblically. Every person that was ever demon possessed in the New Testament was an unbeliever. Every one of them. None of them had come to Christ. Christians are tempted, Christians are oppressed, and they're depressed, but they cannot be what? And they're oppressed, but they cannot be possessed. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world, you see? Satan cannot touch me only by permission. And yet Satan and all of his demons are out to what? To rob, to steal, and to kill. They want to get everybody they can. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, the prophet Ezekiel also gives a description of Satan. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty." You see? Perfect in beauty. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald with gold. The workmanship of your trembles and your pipe was prepared for you from the day you were created." Some believe that Satan was the choir director of heaven. That's where all of the music in the world got polluted. And if we're right, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 18, when commercial Babylon is destroyed, all of the music in the world is totally destroyed, and the people in the world that listened to all that secular music were weeping and crying because they had no more music that Satan had created. Interesting. Read it in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation when you go home. And here he says what? That he was there. And then look what he says also in verse 14. "You were the anointed cherub who covers established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones, and you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created." See, God created him until iniquity was found in you, when he lifted himself up in Isaiah chapter 14 and said, "I will be like God, and I'll take over God's throne, and I'll kick everybody off." He says, "And by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned, the sin of pride. And therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God." He says, "I will destroy you, a covering of cherub from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defile your sanctuaries." Notice that. The sanctuaries were defiled by Satan, where he operates. by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst, and it devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you, and all who knew you among the people are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. What is he talking about? When Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. In the book of Revelations, chapter 20. Let me go real quick there. Chapter 20. Let me read to what it says. This is what he says. In chapter 20, verse 2, he says, he laid a hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little time. After the kingdom age, remember, during the kingdom age, he's sealed up. He's in the bottomless pit. After 1,000 years, he's let out one more time. And then he's judged and cast into the lake of fire. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, whose number is like the sands of the sea. This will be all the rebellion of the world that turn against Christ after 1,000 years of peace. Those that were here in body, soul, and they have no new bodies yet. They're in the flesh here, in the kingdom age. We have our new bodies already. Verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. You see? He's going to lose. Some people will tell you that the devil's going to repent. That's not true. He's never going to repent. God will never give him his grace and love and mercy. He's doomed forever and ever and ever, the Bible says. And yet on the other side, the Bible also tells us that there are demons that operate with Satan himself. In the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, 17 and 18, it says, and then the 70 returned with joy, saying to Jesus, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What is he talking about? Go back to the book of Revelations, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 7. He says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was place found for them anymore in heaven. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. And then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. You see? Everything biblical. Not what people think. This is what the Bible teaches. This is the word of the Lord. Satan is real. His demons are real. And by the way, Satan, whenever he comes, like in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, when the temptations were finally done after 40 days, the angels came to minister to Jesus or to feed him something to eat. And the Bible says that the devil left him for a season, which means I'm leaving, but I'll be back. Satan always comes back. Whenever he can defeat you, he goes out, and what he does is he studies your character, he studies your life, and however you're living your life, he will what? In other places in the scripture says that when there's a person that is demon-possessed, and then the demon comes out of that person, the demon leaves. But that demon goes out and actually says, you know what? I think I'll go back and check my home to see if it's been cleaned out. And the Bible says that when he comes back, he brings back with him seven demons worse than him. And if that person that accepted Christ goes back into drugs, goes back into alcohol, goes back into pornography, goes back into that old life, he says those demons will come into that person's life, and that person will be worse than the first demon that ever came into his life. That's what the Bible teaches. You just open the door. That's why it's really important, if you're on drugs, to get rid of drugs. The word drugs means pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy. Pharmakia means those that practice what? That practice with demons. Behind drugs are demons. Pharmakia is the word. It's really important that we understand that. Because demons, their goal is to do what? To possess a body. Remember in the book of Matthew in chapter 8, when that demon-possessed person in the gatherings on the other side of Capernaum, on the other side, there was a place called Gadara. And there in Gadara, there was a place where this demon-possessed person was being haunted day and night, and he would cut himself and he would break chains. And when Jesus came to him, the demons immediately spoke out, because Jesus said, "What's your name?" And the demon spoke out and said, "My name is Legion, many." In the Roman Legion was about 5,000 troops. "My name is Legion." So you get the picture. And then Jesus spoke to him and rebuked the demons. And the demons said, "We know who you are." And they told Jesus, "Jesus, don't send us into hell. We know where we belong. But send us where those pigs are." And there were 2,000 pigs feeding out there, and it was unlawful for Jews to have pigs because it's against the law of God to eat pork, you see, among the Jews. And Jesus said, "Go ahead and go." And when the demons came out of this person, he was of sound mind, and those actually demons went into the pigs, and the pigs started running wild, and they went over the bridge, and they went into the water of the Sea of Galilee, and the pigs drowned them, not the demons. Because demons are always looking for a body to possess, whether it be human or animal. They want to possess a body. This is why when we pray for an exorcism, and we've done many in Central America, South America, here in America, you want to make sure that when somebody is really, truly demon possessed, because they will speak with another voice, it's not the person, it's been possessed. That when you're dealing with demonology and you're dealing with people that are demon-possessed, the first thing you have to do in order to pray for this demon, not only Jesus said some don't come out only by prayer and fasting, you see? But you have to make sure that when you pray for that person, that there are no non-believers or people that are washy in the room or around that place. Why? Because when that demon comes out, what is he looking for? A body to possess. And yet he cannot possess a Christian because the light's been turned on. But a person that is dealing with witchcraft, a person that is dealing with drugs, with alcohol, pornography, a person that doesn't want his life to be right, then demons have an opportunity to do what? To come into this person's life and possess that person. And that person's state is worse than the first, you see? It's really important that we understand what Jesus is saying here. Again, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "And for he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion. We are many.' And then he got up from there and came to the region of Judea, to the other side of Jordan, and the multitude gathered him again, and he was accustomed and taught them again. And then the disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he goes on to explain to them. He said, 'Now when the Pharisees heard this, the fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Then Jesus knew their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divides against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand.'" They were saying that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of Satan. And Jesus says, you're now getting close to blasphemy. Don't ever say that again. I'm God. Notice this. He said, if Satan is casting out Satan, then he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I, Jesus, cast out demons by Beelzebub, the god of the flies, or Satan, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Notice that. The kingdom of God has come upon you. So he lets them know the power of demonology, what could happen. And yet I'm always amazed at people, how they can go ahead, and I mean, young people, that's why I always talk to young people. The moment you start dealing with marijuana, marijuana will lead you to heroin, it will lead you to acid, it will lead you to, you know, shooting up, whatever it may be, something always stronger, even sniffing glue. Anytime you're not moving away from these things that can destroy you, that God really has said, don't do it because of your physical body. But at the same time, not only realizing the drugs and alcohol and all these things not only damage your kidneys, your liver, your brain, your heart, your arteries, that when you're young, you don't realize those things until you get older. And I have friends tonight that have been in drugs and have been in alcohol. And some of these guys tonight, one of my friends needs a new liver because of the alcohol and the drugs. And then there's another one that's been an alcoholic all his life and his liver is totally almost gone. His actual skin is dry like leather. And you can see his cheeks and his eyes. It's not because God doesn't want you drinking, it's he wants you to think about it because you're going to get hooked. You're going to damage yourself. Anything that has to do with, you know, hallucination, it's demonic. Satan's behind it. He wants to kill you eventually. And think of how many young people have died in drug abuse. We had a guy, I told you the story, one guy that came to the church in West Covina. He went to McDonald's and with his little boy, he left his little boy outside and went to the bathroom. A couple hours later, the little boy was there, 3 or 4 years old, and went up to the counter and they asked him, hey, where's your daddy? Are your mommy here? He couldn't talk too good, so they went to the bathroom to check if his mommy was there or his daddy, and they went into the male bathroom and they opened the toilet and his dad was sitting on the toilet shooting up and he OD'd. Died right there. And I think of how many young people destroy their lives to be cool and to escape to drugs and to alcohol. When all you have to do is accept Christ and get into the Word and be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll be fine. God will heal you. And if you're here tonight and you've done that, God can heal you too. God can heal you. I don't care what you've done. That's the power of the Word. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been harassed by demons, and you're not a Christian, all you have to do is go over to the wall and turn the switch on to turn the light on and the darkness will leave as you come to repentance and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to become your Lord and to become your Savior. And you submit your whole life to Him. And you start now by faith, walking a new life. Oh yes, and you're going to be harassed. Satan's going to come back with 7 demons stronger. Why? Because he wants to get back in that house. But you got to put that sign out. You know, no more occupancy. Hey, it's a new occupancy. Jesus Christ now. That's what you got to do. You know? And it's so cool because as you're going to church and as you're reading and praying and seeking the Lord and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, eventually as you begin to expand and grow in the Lord, guess what? You're going to be shocked and say, wow, you know what? I haven't taken drugs. I have no desire for anymore. Now I have a desire for God's Word. I want to just really know God intimately as my Lord and Savior. God will give you a whole new life. That's what God does. He gives us a chance in life. So I pray tonight that there's anybody like that here, that you would stop. Cold turkey, man, in the Lord. If not, Satan's going to kill you. You will become a victim to Satan. And that's why Paul here is so, you know, in charge here in saying to Timothy, Timothy, this is going to be one of the great signs in the last days. People are going to walk away from the truth because demons are seducing them. Demons are taking them away through false teaching. It's sad, but it's so true. Paul the Apostle, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." You see? And then even Jesus himself in the book of Matthew chapter 24, listen to what Jesus said. This is so cool how the Lord spoke to the disciples about the coming of the Lord. This is what he says. The first thing he says about the coming of the Lord is there's going to be a time of deception and seduction of demonology. In chapter 24, verse 4 and 5, he says this, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." Notice that. Will deceive many. Then again in verse 11 of the same chapter, he says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Notice again. And then in verse 24 again, "For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect." Notice that. "See that I have told you before it comes to pass." And then in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, something interesting in verse 8 that he says to us. Listen to what he says in verse 8. He says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes back again, will he really find faith on the earth?" What are you talking about? Apostasy. When Jesus Christ comes back, will he be able to find people that really, truly believe in him? That's the question. And yet Paul is saying what? There is going to be a great apostasy that is coming. People are going to fall away from the faith. And to me, it is amazing that today, this very moment, we understand one thing. That Paul the Apostle, in teaching the church of the Thessalonians, in chapter 2, turn there, listen to what he said. Because this is what is coming to now. This is where we're living today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it was from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. Let no one deceive you." Here it is again. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Notice that. Apostasia. Same word. Now, let me say this. Two things he's talking about. A falling away of Christians will come, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. Let's read the rest of the verse, what he says. He says, "There'll be a falling away comes first, and then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." What is he saying? That the sign of apostasy is a sign of the last days when the Antichrist will come. We're living in that time. The only thing that's going to happen is that the church will not be here for the Antichrist. I believe with all my heart that the Antichrist is already in the earth. But he cannot come. You say, what do you mean? Well, you got to read the rest of the chapter. Because the Holy Spirit within the church is restraining who? The Antichrist from coming and appearing. But once the power of the Holy Spirit within the church and the church is raptured to heaven, Then the Antichrist will make his appearance, and then Satan and all of his demons and the false prophet and the Antichrist will be able to deceive the whole world. The whole world. Read the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 18. You'll see the big lie. Are we living in the last days? Oh, yes, we are. We are living in the last days. And false prophets and false teachers and demons and Satan are hard at work in the church and outside of the church, trying to get people to walk away from Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord God, to ask you that you would continue to teach us next week in this great chapter. Father, as we take the verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and just unfold them, Lord. Jesus, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would continue to move in us and to work through our lives, Jesus, in such a way, Lord God, that people may be able to see the deception that is going on today, Father, among so many churches and so many people within the Church of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we pray for anyone here tonight or those watching through the internet, Lord God, that have been battling Satan and have been possessed by Satan and those that have been oppressed by Satan. Lord, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you would set people free, Lord God. I pray, Lord, those that have been in drugs or alcohol, pornography, Lord God, lying, stealing, whatever it is, Lord God, I pray, Jesus, that tonight you would do a tremendous work in the hearts of these people. And I wonder if tonight, if there are those of you that would like to receive Christ. You've been in the darkness, you want to turn on the light? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, to walk up here to the front, and stand up here, and I'm going to pray with you. You're going to repent of your sins. You're going to confess them to Him. You're going to receive by faith Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's going to cleanse you and wash you by His blood. He's going to write your name in the book of life, and He's going to give you heaven tonight. But He also wants you to make a public confession, which means what? You have to come up to the front, in front of everybody. Jesus always calls us publicly. If there's anyone here tonight that would like to receive Christ, we're going to worship. You get up and you come now, young, old, I don't care who you are. You get up and you come and stand here in front of the staircase, and I'm going to pray with you. Let's pray right now. Pray with me. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? You guys, go right over there. Follow them, okay? Go ahead, right through there. Go ahead, you guys, right through there. That's neat. Just follow them. Cool. That's neat. A blessing. That's so cool.